today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
chills every single time I hear, whether a big part of that or a small part of that. Welcome to the Republic for the United States of America. You may call me Kelby. I'm an American. Today is September the 4th, 2014, in the year of our Lord. This is an introduction call for the people of the United States of America Corporation, its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, and the men and women of our armed services. We welcome you guys. This republic government called the Republic for the United States of America has been re-inhabited. We're not a movement. We're the only de jure lawful form of government on the land. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans. We are pro-government. You can consider it that we're simply anti-corruption because we're seeing a lot of that now. We are loving fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters. We have families just like you. We simply found some truths, and we're now sharing these truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible, and get ready to understand that you, too, can be a part of history. We welcome each one of you to the Republic, to the United States of America. Before we open up each call, we do give our Lord acknowledgement through prayer. Vice President Dan Owens, would you please help?
Thank you, Kelby. Father, again, we just come to you. We praise you. We worship you, Father. We ask that you lead and guide us through this call, that you lead and guide us through each day, Father, that you give us great wisdom and discernment. We just pray a special blessing on each one on the call and pray that you would charge your angels to watch over each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Tonight, we are going to be holding a Q&A, so get your note pens and pencils out. Start thinking your questions in advance, and this is how you access the Q&A once it's been open, not now, not in a minute, in a few minutes. The Q&A, simply press star 6 on your phone and the number 1, star 6, the number 1, that's star 61, and then you come straight into queue. We're going to announce your 3-digit area code, and you can come in and ask your pertinent questions. Tonight, we have a very special couple of ladies. It's their birthdays, or it's their born days. I'd like to say a happy birthday for me and the entire Republic to the First Lady, Miss Suzanne Geiger, and also to the Second Lady, Mrs. Brenda Owens. Happy birthday from the Republic. We love you guys, and we appreciate you supporting these men and doing what they're doing. God knows they need a good woman behind what they're doing, and we do bless you. On that note, I'm going to yield the floor to our host, Mr. Bob Barnett. I yield.
Good evening. We're having a call tonight that's going to be something that a lot of you have asked for. You want to ask those questions that you've got on your mind. You want to know what we're doing and why. Where do our guests come from? Why are these the ones that we put on? This is kind of a response on the Q&A issues that we get regarding emailed questions that are handled by Brennan Burge, our IT guy, and initially by him, and Dan Owens, our vice president, and another three individuals that make up the balance of that committee. So when your questions come in, they are reviewed. We do want to hear from you. We do want to respond to you, and where the response shows up is in our frequently asked questions section on the primary website, which is republicfortheunitedstates.org. So you can always look at the frequently asked questions, and you may find the answer to your questions there. And if you don't, we're eager to make sure that any questions do get answered and get answered correctly. That's why there's a committee involved to make sure that occurs. That and the other fact that we're just plain lazy and don't want to have to do it twice. So if we get it right the first time, we satisfy people better. So with that, we have Brennan Burge on tonight. He's here in person. And so is Dan, who those two guys, as I said, see all the questions. And I see most. And we'd like to deal with historically what we've been doing and then give you an idea forward where our goals are taking us with our different guests and subject matter. So what I'd like to do is first ask Brennan to comment on the kind of mail he receives, how soon after the call, during the call, how he handles it, and just give us his thoughts on what he's received and what comments he may have. Brennan?
Thanks, Bob. Start off by saying the frequently asked questions is something that we had tried to work towards for quite a while, and there was a lot of work, you know, to kind of get this panel put in place to be able to field the questions. Before, we had some comment areas on the website that we would commonly get questions through. We had several different email addresses we get questions through, and it was just really kind of disjointed, I guess, as far as making sure the questions were being answered in a timely manner and making sure that all the questions were being answered. So having this frequently asked questions section on the website now, there's actually right underneath that menu item, there's a place where you can submit a question, and that's primarily how we'd like to receive the questions for that section. And again, that comes to the panel now. When your questions come in, generally it's going to depend on the subject content. Some of them are technical questions. Somebody has issues, you know, using something on the website or perhaps on these conference calls, you know, having trouble getting into the call and that kind of a thing. Some of those questions will be answered directly by the IT team, you know, things that are just of a technical nature. The majority of the questions that we get are things pertaining to the actual restoration of the Republic, constitutional questions, questions about things such as funding or how to help in your state or, you know, perhaps who your governor is in your state. Maybe you're brand new and you're not sure exactly how to get in contact with somebody. So we get a lot of those types of questions. And again, all of that goes to the panel. At the point that it goes to the panel, like Bob said, that generally comes to me first. Depending on the subject content, depends on who it goes to. But it'll be a draft answer, and then that draft answer is sent out to the rest of the panel and just kind of gets tweaked, make sure everything is following, you know, according to the law, make sure it's the best answer that we can provide. As far as the time frame, pretty much all of these questions, you know, within 12 hours of them being sent in, they're being looked at. From the time that we start looking at them, it just depends on subject content. But I would say most of these are answered, usually somewhere between probably 48 hours, you know, for some of the technical type things. And some of those may be up to a couple of weeks. Some of the stuff we really have to go through and research out, you know, in the law and research out in the statutes to really be able to provide, you know, kind of answer that that particular subject needs. That said, Bob, I don't know if you had any other comments, or I can go ahead and go through some of the questions that we've had.
Well, let's quickly go to Dan and have him make an opening comment, and then we'll go back to you for that, Brenda.
Sure.
Thank you, Bob. I do help with some of the frequently asked questions, and we do try to get through them as quickly as possible. We are limited on staff, so sometimes some of them do take a little longer than others, and we apologize for that, but we're trying to get them done as quickly as possible. And as Brendan said, we really want to focus, as much as we want to get things to people quickly, we really want to focus on accuracy and make sure that we are being complete and truthful and as accurate as possible. So we do appreciate your patience, and we just thank you for having concerns. And you know, by bringing questions and concerns to us, just like tonight's call, it gives us an opportunity to come and, you know, try to get those questions answered, make sure that everyone understands the direction that we're going, and in particular what Bob is referring to with this call tonight and future calls, so that people understand and we can clearly articulate the direction that things are heading. Bob, all you.
Thank you. Back to Brennan, and go ahead and just give him some examples that you've handled, Brennan.
With some of the types of questions that we answer, a lot of the questions that we've had here recently have been things, again, dealing with getting the state put together. That's kind of first and foremost, I think, in most people's minds. Some of the other questions we get, though, is people, you know, just venting frustrations with, you know, the amount of time that things are taking. Also get questions, again, with funding. Obviously, if, you know, there was funding available other than just the, you know, donations from the people that, you know, currently help keep things running, it'd be a little easier, you know, maybe to kind of recruit people and, you know, work on building the state. But as far as the questions coming in, most of the questions that we get are dealing specifically with building the state and restoration of the republic, you know, fuel and religion and that type of thing. We get a lot of people who ask, you know, about having, like, prayer on the calls and some stuff like that. There's just a few different, I guess, concerns outside of really getting the states built, but that's been kind of our main focus, I think, here is answering questions on getting the states put together, because that's going to be key. As far as this call goes, we've had quite a few questions here recently relating directly to the Republic News Network calls and also relating to some of the guests that we've had, some of the content that we have in the calls. So I'll let Bob handle questions here, but some of the questions we've had have been pertaining to some of the guests. Some of the guests that we have won, you know, we've invited people, and Bob will explain, you know, to come onto the call and kind of share their perspective on things, you know, whether it's with the Republic or, you know, another topic that they're competent in. But we get some questions sometimes, you know, maybe the person that we're listening to, that their views don't quite line up with what we think the Republic's views should be, or, you know, it doesn't quite line up with what we consider to be, you know, the law form for the Republic and some things like that. So, Bob, maybe you could speak to why you invite the types of guests you do, how you go through that process of finding these people, and what the goals are for having those guests on this call. I yield.
Well, you bet, Brennan. The review side of this, we'll go back, and I'll just pick a few from the last couple months or so, and use them as examples. We try to target a mix and a timely approach to a guest. In other words, when there's something that's happening in the world that that pertains to a certain area of expertise, and this is not always possible, but we'll try to line up someone who can speak to that. And an example is over the past 2 months, which is the segment I took to look at, we've had, in times of activity worldwide that affect the nation, that affect international affairs, that affect things like war and peace, we've had some significant military retirees on. We've had Colonel Harding, who is an extinguished, significantly decorated Air Force officer retiree. We've had Richard Mack. When the subject has been heavy in the gun control area and what sheriffs are, what sheriffs should be, what law enforcement is, what it should be, we've tried to match that up and bring, he's actually been with us twice over the last year and a half or so. Then, if it's a matter of business and finance, we try and bring someone on that's got a business and finance background. If it's law, we had Roger Dowdell, a very successful businessman from Florida, who's become extremely active in affairs of redress by the citizens for grievances against public officials. That's having to do with how the common law affects what a grand jury is supposed to be. We've had, during the earlier part of this year, a significant number of people were involved in and active in Operation American Spring, which was to deliver documents to the halls of Congress, the judicial halls, and a number of them went there, not as many as they hoped, but they had a huge reach on all the media regarding Facebook and the other methods to expand their reach using the computer and the phone and the other tools that everyone has. So we had, in times of border problems, particularly our southern border and infiltration airports, things like that, overseas happenings that affect everyone in the world. We've had General Vallely, who has been a long-time spokesman on some of the different news agencies, with Fox News for a number of years, on Newsmax all the time now, was on True News just last week. He gets around the block because he's got a huge organization in Stand Up America that is a news organization. I mean, it's a center for a whole lot of incoming first-hand information. So he was able to speak to us on a very important matter, was the relationship of the military to the citizenry and to the governance and how all that works. We had just last week a man who's extremely knowledgeable in the areas of security internationally and nationally, and that was John Quirk, who has spent 30 years in that kind of work. The reason for that timing is what's going on over in the Middle East again, and the amount of encroachment into our land here in the United States by people who want to hurt us, kill us, maim us, and so forth, from the Islam-driven Middle East issues, and that we are a target of as well. So those concerns, what we try and do is match up the guest to what's current as much as is humanly possible. And so that's how we've been doing it in the past. Now, when we reach out, and a little bit of speech making here, because I drive this side of it strongly myself. Because the Republic is, and because everyone belongs to it that wants to be, it's ours. Because it's ours, ours means all. And we have to expand beyond just people who have been studious about the reality of how we lost our republic, how we operate in a corporation, how we have real problems in the financial arena, and all those basics that many of the people on here tonight and other nights have been studious about and know more than the average, even professionals, on those subjects, because they're living in a de facto professional society. So what we're trying to do is be inclusive of areas beyond the patriot who has been studious, beyond the Sheriff Mack who has 400 and some sheriffs who have supported his CSPOA out of 3,000 and some, so he has to reach out as well. So when we reach out, and we reach out through the military, we all know is a necessary thing. We all know there also are issues about finance. We also know there's issues about faith. So we try and cover these bases while spiraling to a larger and larger and larger circumference to be open to and receive the citizenry. So I would like to field questions with Dan and Brennan tonight, and requests, if you will. We'd like to know who you want on here. We'd like to know what subjects you want to hear about. And we'll get it in the mix, and we'll try and be timely about how we do it. And with that, Kelby, I think we'll get the Q&A ready.
All right. We're going to open up the Q&A right now and press *61 on your phone. Again, *6 and the number 1, if you want to get in and ask any question pertaining to the Republic. Give it a second, Bob. We should have some people coming in shortly.
While they're getting on, we can go ahead and have Dan speak to the subject I just was discussing.
Bob, yes, I'd like to give an example, Bob, of what you're talking about and the outreach while we're waiting on the folks to come into the queue. About a year ago, I spoke to a gentleman here who was associated with the constitutional militias. And we talked a couple of times, two or three times, and really since that point have never heard from him. However, as you know, you and I last week after the RNN call got on a blog radio call called Two Women in a Burrow. And you actually called in as a call-in, and both of us were listening. One of the gentlemen that was associated with this gentleman that I spoke with, when asked about what to do and what needed to be done, his answer was we need to restore and re-inhabit the Republic. And the woman host said, are you talking about the Republic of the United States? And he said, no, specifically, the Republic for the United States of America. I think you actually had an opportunity to meet with both of these people at the Bundy Ranch. And while a year ago they were cool to our where we are and what we are doing by giving them time, giving them an opportunity to research, by giving them a platform, by talking to them. They have come around, and now they are pointing to the Republic. And I thought that was, for Willie Wong, it was very encouraging, and it was an example of the outreach that you're speaking about, Bob.
Well, and specifically, there are so many groups, and a lot of them are based in a willingness to have arms and be in a constitutional militia. A lot of them are willing to, as I said, be students and really care about what we should have, what we should return to. But the groups are large in number, and some of them have a significant amount of people involved in them, and the one you're talking about does. I know they were active in Operation American Spring, where I first saw them. And the thing is, some of these groups are significantly organized, and all we're trying to be here is home plate. And we're just holding the seats, and home plate is where we can all come to complete the restoration and a return to a constitutional republic, which is what pretty much everybody wants, and they're running a lot of parallel paths, although not identical. We have no dues. We have no requirements beyond the Constitution. We do have, if you choose to serve, obviously there are constitutional requirements for service, even though our service is interim. And what we mean by that is once we establish a large enough body of the people, then the appropriate constitutional election is the next step. So do we have someone out there yet, Kelby, or?
You know, again, just as a reminder, press *6 and the number 1. I just got a Skype from Brennan. He does have a few questions he wants to get asked from the people. So.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead with that.
These are actually questions that we've got in from different emails and things. These have been over just the past few weeks after some of our guests. Some emails that we've received, you know, asking questions about the guests or some of the content that they covered. One of the questions that we get most often, this isn't pertaining to anybody specifically, an email, but a question that we do get quite often from new people, is they ask, you know, there's other republics, and I think probably a good example would be like the Republic of Texas. Probably everybody's seen some stuff, you know, on that. But there's other groups that claim to be, you know, a republic or some type of group restoring, you know, the government in the United States. So how do we know that what we have done makes us the real republic would be kind of the question that we get often from new people. I don't know who wants to field that.
Sure, I think I'll let Dan field that one.
Thank you, Bob. Well, first and foremost, most of these, not all, can't speak to all of them, I haven't seen every one of them. Many of these groups that call themselves Republic have not made themselves, quote-unquote, accessible to the people. What is very pertinent in the formation and the restoration of the Republic for the United States of America is it was not by a government, or it was not by, you know, one or two folks that's sending out some emails. It was by the people. There were assemblies of people within the states that said, we want our republic restored back to its original organic status, and the people have the right to do so. And that has been documented, that has been delivered to The Hague, to the UPU, and that has not and is not, because it's by the people, is not something that can be challenged. I yield.
Okay, well, and that's, it's important for people to understand who we are, and that we are all inclusive. And we're, in a way, we're kind of the boring side of things, because the restoration of the whole is what we're making preparation for, to be open doors for everyone. Whereas a lot of times, the more enthusiastic things have to do with what affects people individually and personally right now, rather than the whole. And a lot of the groups that we're talking to are doing exactly that, whether it's militia or recovery of individual rights, recovery of individual financial benefits, whatever that happens to be. So what I'd like to do is make sure that that people understand that we will always try to be inclusive in what you want to hear and who you want to hear it from as much as we possibly can. Otherwise, our approach is to basically run along a path that we've been on, which is to get you the most up-to-date information we humanly possibly can from the best sources that we can, as far as making the whole as interesting and informative as possible. To that end, I could tell you that I'm in contact with a number of those arenas, and they come from everything from faith to military to business and finance. Finance, there's a whole lot going on in the world in finance right now. And that is a good one to address, because entire shapes of how nations work with each other is on the table out there right now. There's a lot going in that world, and it would definitely, of course, affect everyone here. That's one that that we can bring to the table. Another that we can bring to the table would be some constitutional militia. Another we can bring to the table some law enforcement. So we can continue along the path that we've been and have that kind of a mix, and try and do the best we can with timing for the mix of our guests. It's very important to us to satisfy whatever need is out there in regards to letting people know we're here and how we can benefit the whole. And the hard part, of course, is we always need more people to carry the load. So We don't have any dues. There's no memberships here. There's no money involved, except we pay our own expenses, if you count that. And no one here is paid. We just want to recover our republic. And it left in the 1860s, and we just want to get it back to what it was founded to be. That's a simple way to state our goal. We have it reserved here for all who want to be. Kelby, do we have anyone out there?
You know what? We've got quite a few people on the call right now. And here we go. Area code 330. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Yes. This is Gene Exum. Most of you know I work pretty hard at trying to grow our republic. A question that, Bob, that we may answer, one of you guys can answer, that I've already gotten three times this week and several times before, that it is this. We hear much references made to states being green. What does it really mean, or actually mean, for a state to be green?
Well, that's the official question, Gene, so I'd like to get you an official answer from an official, and that one goes to Dan.
Thank you. Gene, what we need in the states for a state to be considered green, we need to see all three branches. So we need a governor, we need two senators, one representative, and a justice, chief justice. That would meet the minimum requirement for the three branches of a republican form of government in each state. Now, having said that, some states require, right off the top, they also require a secretary or a, quote, records keeper. I would advise a state to do that as quickly as possible, because unless the governor is a great records keeper, that falls under the executive branch, so he or she is going to be responsible for that until such time as they have a records keeper. But I would say we only can require the five at the national level, but I would encourage that you put the sixth one on the list there to, and then from that point on, the states can begin to build their legislatures and fill their state offices, those offices that are needed or at the time. And basically, has been discussed on this call already, is the main focus of anyone who holds a seat should be, one, to hold that seat for the people, and two, to bring the people into the republic, to educate the people, to recognize, as Bob said, all-inclusive, that we're, you know, it's an open door, and we need, not just we, but America needs for the people of America to step into their lawful and rightful position. Does that answer your question, Gene?
Yes, I think that will give people an idea of what we have to work toward. I yield.
Yeah, to further that, this is a significant thing to understand, is that as we build that becomes the structure to receive more and more people, at which point we have enough, we get to turn around and give it all back to a new election, and it's all on board. And we run parallel. We actually run parallel to the United States Corporation. We are law-abiding. We are not aggressive. We do no harm. We simply are here to take back peacefully and lawfully the republic that is ours. And we do that by attrition to us. And we do that by getting the word out. A lot of those groups I'm talking about, we try and work with entire groups. We try and work with bodies of military retirees, bodies of existing properly positioned groups that are like-minded to recover the republic. Brennan, did you have anything more?
Yeah, actually, I've got a series of questions here, and some of these we might be able to go through pretty quick. Another one that we just received last week after John Quirk, I think you were wanting to address this, actually. We had somebody email in and ask, towards the end of that call, the Federal Reserve came up, and it seemed like John was kind of in favor of the Federal Reserve, and most people in the Republic probably are not. And if you could just address, you know, why that came up, and then I know you'd asked him back, so maybe you could expand on that.
Well, I actually traded emails with him following that, and although I don't have it in front of me, he essentially is very aware of what it is. Made it clear, and at the end of that call, I told him I'd invite him back because he kind of got trapped out there and hung on what the response I got back afterwards makes much clearer what his position really is. His position on New World Order is they have a lot of control of a lot of those banking arenas and international activity, including financial, including IMF, including Federal Reserve, but he doesn't believe they'll get it done, even though he understands that we've lost a lot in this process. And that's essentially paraphrasing what he emailed me today, earlier today. So we will have him back, but he got caught on a end of the call, bad place to stop is what happened. And that was probably as much my fault as anything, as the host of that call. Trying to rush in a question that led to that and left it kind of high and dry. So he lives in a world that's professional, that's de facto, that is, that's why we had him on. We need to understand and openly explain what we're doing, why we're doing it, and not be seen as just yelling and screaming and raising hell, but actually able to explain to people what we're doing. And what would be next, Brennan?
Another email I have, this one was actually after the call with Roger Dobell, And this has several parts to it. I think most of these will probably be kind of quick, easy answers, but we can go through them here. The first question, we get this a lot from kind of new people coming in, too, maybe who are looking at the de facto and looking at the de jure and trying to distinguish maybe some of the differences between them.
Let me interrupt quickly, Brent, and remind people that Roger Dowdell was specifically speaking to, on that call, some really far-reaching work in Florida regarding their grand juries down there. And please go ahead. I just wanted to get the title back in.
Sure. And I'll preface this too, I guess, that this email coming in was maybe from a little bit of a upset standpoint, I guess, by the person that was sending this in. But the first question I have in here is simply, what is the law form of the de jure republic?
Constitutional. We are based wholly on the constitutional law form, which is common law, was intended to be common law. And it's based on Judeo-Christian basics and biblical basics, and is what has been practiced for the first 100 years, and from that point on has been slowly modified since the Civil War. So in 1938, completely lost that law form, and it went into a very different, very profitable, very not in the interest of the basic citizenry law form, and it's been that way since then. So we went from law and equity to basically an international uniform commercial law form, and that's where we are today.
All right, I'll give you the second part of this. I believe this is probably in reference maybe to Kelby's comments there at the end of that call. This person's asking, where among the enumerated powers is it granted for the government to support private organizations? I go on to say, I understand the need to fill vacancies. However, it must be done within the enumerated powers, right? Maybe you could speak to that.
Well, that's why it's interim. It's interim because it's basically holding the seat and establishing all the preparation to receive the republic back in the way of the all the people, because the enumerated powers at the level of the republic itself are literally can't be activated without the states and the people being whole. So look at this as a we're a target, and we can't present the bullseye until we get all the rings filled up. And the rings are the states and counties and basically the total people. So we just get ready to receive. And as we receive, we get more help in getting ready to receive more. And ultimately, that's what it's about.
The final part of this, and again, this was in reference to Roger's call, so I believe referring just to the National Liberty Alliance. It says, you claim that the Magna Carta is your source of common law, and they're just wondering, I guess, how the common law grand jury fits into the Republic law form, what its lawful function would be within the Republic.
Well, first, the common law was initiated in Magna Carta. But for our purposes, we start in 1776 with our Declaration, because our Declaration is the most current and, of course, becomes the Constitution. The Declaration is the intent to create, and the Constitution is what was created. And the thing about the Magna Carta is, by the very nature of the people taking their will, they set the precedent for what we have at the inception of our republic. That precedence being that the people are the basis to all governance and should be in charge. So when the Declaration leads to ultimately the Constitution, through the Articles of Confederation and the temporary presidents that, I shouldn't say temporary, the interim presidents that conducted the business during the Articles of Confederation time, which are all culminated in what we call the Constitution in 1787. The Constitution assumes all of that. And that's the starting point. And it's at that starting point where it was delineated very, very few powers to the general government by the states and the people. Which is why in 1791 the Bill of Rights was added, to clarify and emphasize and make a whole body of the first 10 called the Bill of Rights to absolutely, the people wanted to be absolutely certain that they limited the general government and its powers regarding the relationship of it to the states that create it. So the people and the states limit the power, and that's what Article 1, Section 8 makes very clear. Essentially, we see a completely backward situation with a corporate president who stands there and talks to a Congress like they don't even exist and says, I'm going to take my pen and phone and do whatever I want, is definitely not an example of the intent of that Constitution. Do you have another one there, Brennan? Or I should say, Kelby, is there someone that wants to ask anything?
No. I don't know if my screen's frozen. Brennan, can you take a look? I don't see anything there.
You know what I think? What I think is we've done a perfect job. There just are no questions.
You know what? A lot of times people just, they don't know what to ask. I think some of the questions that Brennan's asking is really good.
Good. Well, let's keep going with Brennan then.
And you know what, Bob, you keep passing the law issues and questions to our vice president, but you seem to have a well-rounded grasp of the law as it pertains to common law and so forth. So congrats. I had no idea.
Well, This is my disclaimer, Brennan, and then you go ahead.
Sure.
My disclaimer is, if we don't have any questions tonight, we'll pat ourselves on the back and just think we're perfect.
Watch the queue open up right now. Star 6 and 1 if you have any questions.
Go ahead, Brennan.
Just a reminder, we got a 5-minute queue or a 5-minute...
we only got time for one anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get away with it. We might be perfect.
No.
Go ahead,
please,
Brennan.
Somebody press star 6-1 as soon as possible.
I was just going to add, regarding that last question, we do have on the website, if people go to government information at the top and then click on the tab that's labeled judicial, we have some white papers in there that were written by Chief Justice Moak, and those are pertaining more on the common law courts, grand juries, and specifically the common law and the Constitution as it relates to the Republic and the de jure law form. So that may be... a place that they can get more of that information. As far as questions, I was actually going to go back to our frequently asked questions. We've pretty much answered what we had in emails from some of the previous calls. Some of the questions that we have in here, I'll pull just a couple of these that are, I think, maybe kind of more pertinent or whatever that people, again, one of the ones we referenced earlier is people explain that they were frustrated. This particular question, person says that they're very frustrated. On some of the recent calls, people have mentioned the American people need to stand up. And this person says, I've been standing up for years. I voted in every election. I call my senators and representatives. I get involved in local politics. None of my efforts seem to matter. So you listen to the calls, people are telling me I can help to make a difference. And not sure what frustrates me more, the current political system or people like you. What is so different about what you people are doing, and why should I do any more than I already am? And the answer that was provided in our frequently asked questions says, many of us have experienced the same frustrations. We discovered the system can't be fixed because it's not really broken. What do we mean by that? The system, federal, state, and local government are for-profit corporations. This includes all their agencies and court. They function quite well for their owners. You may ask who that is. Good luck finding that out, but I can tell you it is not the American people. Armed with this knowledge, you can now understand why your past efforts have caused you so much frustration. This is all well documented across our website. The Republic for the United States of America is the original de jure government that was established by our founding fathers in 1789 with the ratification of the Constitution for the United States of America and subsequent Bill of Rights ratified in 1791. This is not the corporate fiction that functions unlawfully in Washington, D.C. as the United States de facto government. The American people have simply occupied the heretofore vacant seats of the original Republic government. The original Republic government was vacated during the decade of the Civil War. It was at that time that our Republican form of governance was unlawfully changed to a corporate semi-democracy. This was done without the consent or knowledge of the American people. It sat dormant for over 100 years. This reseating or reinhabitation of the original Republic government, as we refer to it, took place in 2010. These seats of government are being held by a few brave souls and an interim temporary government called the Republic for the United States of America while we wait for the American people to take back that which was theirs all along. As soon as the people do this, they can hold elections for a permanent government that answers to the American people and protects their rights. The only thing keeping this from happening is the American people coming on board. By getting the word out and bringing the truth to the people, we can all make a real difference. We can bring an end to the insanity that is the corporate de facto United States fiction. Now I ask you, be honest with yourself. Doesn't this sound like a much better solution than begging politicians to listen to you? Oh, by the way, they probably didn't bother to tell you any of these truths at their last town hall meeting, did they? And so again, to that, I would just like to add that, really get the word out. You know, invite people to this call so they can hear the truth that's being, every week that we're putting this call out and, trying to bring these guests and trying to bring truth, about the Republic and the restoration of the government. So, again, I just encourage you, invite your family, invite your friends, and bring everybody you can into the Republic. With that, I yield.
Great close. Kelby, it's yours.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, that's we time these calls now precisely to an hour. Somebody did come in the queue, and they proved that we are not perfect, and we are sorry we can't address your questions tonight, but we do this every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific. We are very much looking forward to people getting active, coming on board, and joining with us in this task. And, Brandon, that was a great, great answer and a great way to close. So have a great evening. We love you guys. And we'll see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. Good night.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand.